The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Jesus said to him, John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said to him, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I can't ever tell if the microphone's working or not. Sound okay? Great, okay. I'm going to take this off. As much as I love the protection, speaking without a mask is a bit easier. So Jesus says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves. Well, I don't know about you, but I think we use too much salt at our house. But it's one of those things where you kind of get used to the flavor and then when it's not there, you want more of it. But we try to pay attention anyway. Salt, as you know, is not only a preserver of food, it enhances the flavor of food. Salt is good, says Jesus. But of course, he's not talking about the preservative or the seasoning. He's talking about our life, yours and mine. What is it about us that enhances our own life and those of others? What gives us flavor? And what is it about our lives that gets in the way or makes us less salty? That's really what today's gospel is all about, even with that hyperbole that Jesus uses about cutting off hands and plucking out eyes. You know, some saints have taken that text literally. Perhaps the most famous of those is St. Lucy. Anybody know the story of Lucy? No? Okay, well, she was wed to a man, but she wanted to be the bride of Christ. And so, legend goes, she tore out her eyes so that no man would be attracted to her. And on St. Lucy's Day, which is December 13th, right in the middle of Advent, in Sweden, the eldest daughter of the household gets up early and prepares breakfast for everyone. And then she dons a crown of candles, because Lucy means light. And she carries the breakfast in on a tray with two hard-boiled eggs, signifying the eyes that the saint gave up. It's kind of a morbid thought, but it's part of the custom in that culture, in some families. And even in the United States, where the Swedish live together, they celebrate this day. But I don't believe, and I'm sure you don't believe either, that Jesus meant that we were supposed to take his direction literally. So please don't go and cut off your hand because it offends you, whatever that might mean. We are less likely to be offended by our hands and our eyes than we are to be offended by someone else's mouth. Of course, that's what happened in Hebrew scripture reading for today, as well as the gospel. We see two different stories in which the true and authorized disciples are healing or teaching in the master's name or tradition, and the followers are offended. Cut them off, they plead to Moses or to Jesus. It's easier for us to be offended by what someone else does than to look at our own selves and what needs to change. But that's what Jesus is really pointing to. He asks each and every one of us, what's getting in the way within your own self of being salt in and for the world? Now, last Sunday, George and I had the pleasure and honor of worshiping with the good folks of St. Luke's in Ballard. I was serving as a guest priest for the vicar who's on her sabbatical. It's been quite a few years since we've been there. I've served there before, kind of know some of the people. It had been at least 4 years, as I think back on it, since we were in Ballard. And during one of our last visits to that church, I noticed that the city had developed a very nice park area opposite the church with vegetation and paths and benches and areas for children to play and folks to meet and chat. And the park was full of people doing just that. It's quite beautiful. Well, this past Sunday, as we drove toward the church, we saw a shocking, even distressing sight. The whole park is covered with tents. The homeless population has always been present in that part of Ballard, but it has a really large presence now, and you can't avoid seeing it. And that church, St. Luke's, is right in the middle of it. As I stood at the altar presiding over communion, I could see the tents through the windows. It was as if they were right out there. It changed my perspective, that's for sure. I kind of feel like that with the Sacred Ground program. The materials and conversations in our small group have made me see our culture in a whole new way. I hope that's true for you. And now when things happen in our town or elsewhere, I'm increasingly aware of their impact on persons of color, as well as those who are the least among us. One of the ways we are salted is to have our eyes open to the realities that are around us, the ones we'd really rather not see. And those of us on Bainbridge Island are mainly sheltered from many of these kind of images. That doesn't mean we aren't affected or that we don't contribute in ways that we are unaware, perhaps. So Jesus consistently gives teachings that do not make sense to the analytical, reasoned mind. He's trying to give us a new mind, one that is located in what Ezekiel called the heart of flesh. I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, says God through Ezekiel. And Jesus is about this work. In order to accomplish it, he fries the mind so the essence of what he's getting at can settle into our hearts and our bodies, the centers of our being. And in this case, he's inviting us to separate ourselves from whatever is getting in the way of living a life that is centered in divine life. By doing so, we will have a new perspective about our life. We will begin to see that what was designed to become one whole cosmological life, we have divided into two or more parts, and we have become separated from ourselves. We have forgotten the source of all life and being. In some ways, you could say that we are homeless because we have wandered far from our original home. It's another contradiction. In order to be whole, we have to cut away the parts that are not contributing to our health. We have to see differently from the whole of life instead of just looking at the parts. This is Jesus' version of soul surgery. Instead of trying to change those around us, we are urged to change ourselves. And this is harder work than looking at what others are doing and engaging in debate and conversation about how to change them. And we've all been there these last few months. Recently, we've all heard a number of different conversations about the vitriolic statements and challenges that are being placed before us through a variety of media, radio, internet, newsletters, newsprint, online. So there's some of that vitriol on the various sides of the issues being discussed. And they're numerous. I'm sure you can name some of them. Our president, the virus, vaccinations, the war, laws about abortion and voting. And perhaps like you, I think it's particularly disturbing when religion is used in that capacity. It's especially disturbing to those of us who would prefer compassionate and reasoned conversation, no matter what the issue is. But we also need to realize, and I think Sacred Ground has helped me with this, we are seeing and talking from a place of privilege. Yes, and I do mean white privilege. We are inheritors of a culture which favors European educated people, and we have benefited greatly from that culture. So from the standpoint of Jesus, I believe we're called to let go of holding on so hard to positions and reasoning, and yes, even the argument of science, and instead work on our ability to embrace the conflict that is within each of us, to recognize our own fallibility and failure, to commend the Christ that is in us and in our neighbor. This doesn't mean we don't seek justice or equal rights for all. That very concept is very much a part of our understanding of how to live together as human beings. And it means more than treating everyone the same. The Hebrew word for justice actually means right relationship. The righteous man is one who is in right relationship with God. Human justice is right relationship between humans. And obviously, we're still working on that. The concrete visibility of tents for homeless folks shows us out in the light of day in ways that cannot be ignored that we have much more work to do. Now, St. Luke's in Ballard is very much about that work. They feed the hungry in their basement kitchen every day during the week. And they gather to be fed by word and sacrament every Sunday. They pray, just like the letter of James talks about today, openly and in the midst of worship. And they are, and this is what's most astounding, given what everything looks like there. They have very old buildings that are in very bad shape. They are envisioning a new kind of ministry that will ultimately tear down all of their buildings, and on their site will grow affordable housing. And underneath that housing will be a new church and gathering space that will meet the needs of Episcopalians for generations to come. They have truly gained new vision in that place. So what kind of vision is this congregation going to be given as we continue to do our spiritual work together? How might we use our property to serve the needs in this community? What will we do with this sacred ground? Those are questions I believe we ought to be talking about. Jesus tells us, have salt in yourselves. We each have to do our own personal work, both internal and external. But we need to do our work as a community as well. And perhaps another way of talking about it is this. We all need to become old salts. Sail on the sea of life. Learn to let go of the things you can't control. Learn about your own self, but don't get too obsessed about it. Let go of what gets in your way. Pray for those who disagree with you, remembering that they too are children of the living God. Watch for what you are now able to see when you do your own internal work. Be salty. Share your true loving self with the whole world. Amen.